at the foot of the cross. In the hymn that we sang near the cross, we sang the line, "Help me walk from day to day with its shadows, the shadow of the cross over me." We sing the hymn beneath the cross of Jesus, in which we have the line, "The shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land." What do we see in the shadow of the cross? What could we learn in the shadow of the cross? The second verse of the hymn at the cross states, "Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree, beyond the measurement." If we lived in the shadow of the cross, what would we see? How would our lives be transformed? In the shadow of the cross, we find unknown, incomprehensible, infinite love. Unknown, incomprehensible, infinite love. We find an enduring love. Jesus was beaten almost to death, hung 6 hours on the cross, bleeding, losing life with each drop of blood, contorting in agony, all the while knowing he was innocent. He was pouring out love for humanity who didn't deserve his love. Jesus was pouring out love and mercy for humanity, past, present, and future. He was pouring out love and mercy for those who were mocking and scorning him, for those who beat him without mercy and crucified him. He was pouring out love for them too. As we sang this morning, the fount of God's love is flowing free. Jesus was willing to suffer the worst type of suffering and death for our salvation. A line from the hymn, O Sacred Head, states, "Mine, mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain." Think of that. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 states, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." What about forgiveness? We see that in the shadow of the cross. We would see what Jesus forgave. Men who hammered big, dirty, rusty, wrought iron nails into Jesus' hands and feet that caused unbelievable pain. No, it's not the nice finish nails you find in Home Depot. These were big, dirty, rusty, wrought iron nails that were put into Jesus' hands and feet. And it caused unbelievable pain. And yet, Jesus forgave them. Wow. Luke chapter 23, verse 34 states, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Jesus forgave all of our sins. The second verse of "Since Jesus came into my heart" states, "And my sins, which were many, are all washed away." We are justified by his blood. Billy Graham defined justification as, "Just as if I never sinned." That's how it is under the blood of Jesus. When we are covered by his blood, it's just as if we never sinned. Imagine that. His blood makes us pure. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34 states, "For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Forgiveness at the foot of the cross. Psalm 103, verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Do we forgive others? Sometimes we have a hard time forgiving someone of the smallest offense against us. Well, we have to keep this in mind. Matthew chapter 6, verse 15, where Jesus said, "But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgression." To me, that states, how could you enter heaven if your transgression isn't forgiven? And Jesus said, "But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." Look what Jesus forgave. And sometimes we have a hard time forgiving others of the smallest offense against us, but we have to forgive. At the foot of the cross, in the shadow of the cross, we see mercy triumphing over judgment. We deserve judgment in hell for our sins. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death. But the mercy of Jesus brought us heaven, brought us heaven instead." Romans chapter 8, verse 1, "Therefore there was now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Mercy triumphed over judgment with Jesus. Only the heart of Jesus would change eternal condemnation in hell to eternal salvation in heaven. At the cross, mercy triumphed over judgment. In the shadow of the cross, we find almighty unknown power. Power over damnation and all the atrocities of hell. Power over sin and the powers of darkness. Power to become sons and daughters of the Most High God, the King of Kings. I want to repeat that. Power to become sons and daughters of the Most High God, the King of Kings. Through the cross, we have become princes and princesses, not of an earthly king, but of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, sons and daughters of God, of the Most High, Almighty God." In the shadow of the cross, there is a fountain of the most precious blood that can heal all kinds of illnesses of the body and the mind and of the spirit. Healing of all types of pain, healing of broken hearts, healing of depression, released from demonic power. Don't forget, thousands of demons were afraid of Jesus. Remember the man who was possessed with the legion of demons? When Jesus came, they were all afraid of him. They asked him, "Send us into the swine." Power over all demonic power. All of hell is afraid of Jesus. There is also financial healing, healing of every budget. You know, we hear crazy things on the news about, you know, financial crises looming and, you know, food prices going up and the price of gasoline. There is healing of every type of budget. Leave it to Jesus. You hear this stuff on the news, leave your finances to Jesus. Do you remember the widow with the vessel of oil? And she went to the prophet and he said, "Pour out the oil." She had one vessel. And he said, "Pour out." He said, "Go and gather vessels from your neighbors and keep pouring out until all the vessels are full." And you know what? As you remember, the vessels ran out, not the oil. God kept multiplying the oil. And you know what? You could do that with your gas tank too. Believe it. Your gas could go for, if Jesus said, "I'm going to make you get 50 miles to the gallon or more," he'll do it. You leave your gas tank and your finances to Jesus. Don't matter what you hear on the news. God will take care. Remember with the widow, with that one vessel of oil, and God multiplied it and multiplied it. You could do the same thing with your gasoline. God's in control, not man. healing of budgets. The tearing, the ripping apart of his body became the healing and the restoration of our body, soul, and spirits. Nothing is beyond or could even compare to the healing power of the cross. At the cross, we've seen inexplicable, unexplainable infinite grace in the shadow of the cross. What is grace? Well, there's a couple of definitions we could state this morning. Grace is undeserved, unmerited favor. Grace is also defined as an acronym, a group of words that when the first letter of each word is put together, spells the word of importance. So grace, G-R-A-C-E, goodness received at Christ's expense. Grace, goodness received at Christ's expense. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know why that occurred, why Jesus said that, my God, why have you forsaken me? At that time, all our sins, the sins of the entire world, past, present, and future, were all on Jesus. God could not look at him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. If this event does not show goodness received at Christ's expense, I don't know what does. In the shadow of the cross, we learn that we have access to our Heavenly Father through the sacrifice of Jesus. Matthew chapter 27, verse 51, "And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom." Top to bottom, God did it. If man did it, it would have been bottom to top. It says top to bottom. God tore the veil. And you know what? This thought just hit me this week. God must have torn that veil with a great smile on his face. Wow. And saying, "Welcome to my throne," through the sacrifice of my son. Picture it. God tears the veil that separates the holy place from the restricted Holy of Holies. He must have had a great smile on his face. I can't imagine what the face of God looked like at that point. And saying, "Welcome to my throne through the sacrifice of my son." Through the sacrifice of Jesus, we can approach the throne of the Almighty God. Do you realize what that means? We can approach the throne of the Almighty God. Try to approach the throne of an earthly king or ruler. You won't get through. Yet we can approach the throne of the Almighty God, a God who we can't imagine his greatness, the God of the universe, which isn't cliche, the God of the universe, the God that's way beyond our wildest imagination. He's the one that says to us, "Welcome." Do you remember in the book of Esther, the queen had to wait for the king to raise the scepter so she could go into his presence? Because if he didn't raise the scepter, even the queen could have been killed. When we go to God in the name of Jesus, the scepter goes up. Do we realize why I always say, and why I will always say, this church is about Jesus, 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 and more Jesus? We say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. The golden scepter goes up. As soon as you say that, thank you, Jesus. Do we realize what this is about this morning? A God who we can't even understand, way beyond our wildest imagination, which is said in the book of Ephesians, raises the golden scepter for us. As soon as we say, in the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the name in which anything can happen. You ask for something in God's will, in the name of Jesus, you better expect it to happen. Once you say, in the name of Jesus. The hymn, I Found a Way, states, I found a way through the blood, past the veil, to the Holy of Holies with God. I found a way through the blood, past the veil, to the Holy of Holies with God. Through prayer, we enter the Holy of Holies where we could have communion with God. In Old Testament times, only the high priest could enter this area of the temple, and only once a year. That was on the Day of Atonement, which we call Yom Kippur. Only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies. You know, the temple had the outer court, then it had the holy place, then it had the Holy of Holies, totally restricted area. Only the high priest could enter, and only once a year. And in the holy place, the Holy of Holies, was the Ark of the Covenant. The lid of the Ark of the Covenant was called the mercy seat. The high priest could go in only once a year. And if he did anything wrong while he was making those sacrifices on the Day of Atonement, God struck him dead. That's why there were bells on his garment. And there was a rope around his ankle. Because if the bells on his garment weren't ringing, he was dead. People couldn't go into the Holy of Holies to get him out. That's why there was a rope around his ankle. They had to drag his dead body out. Now, do you know, this gives me chills, every time you pray in the name of Jesus, you're in the Holy of Holies. In the name of Jesus. Jesus, 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 and more Jesus. The life, and that's what this church is all about. Jesus. In the shadow of the cross, we find victory over sin, death, the grave, and hell. When the child of God passes away, he or she doesn't die. My father is not dead. Anyone that passed away, someone close to you, they're not dead. They don't die. He or she closes his eyes on earth and wakes up in heaven. They don't die. They fall asleep. You know, when you fall asleep, you close your eyes, you go into dream world. When you pass away, you close your eyes, you go into heaven. Never mind dream world. You don't die. So every one of our loved ones that in the Lord that passed away, they're waiting to see us in heaven. I want to read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 to 57. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 to 57. I'll give you a moment to turn to it. Talk about victory over sin, death, the grave, and hell. Beginning at verse 54 of chapter 15. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Thank you, Jesus. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the cross, in the shadow of the cross, we see the great gift of God, eternal life with Him. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Because of the cross, instead of spending an eternity in hell, we spend an eternity in heaven. Could you imagine an eternal ecstasy? We could only imagine what that would be like, eternity in heaven. In the shadow of the cross, we would live in awe of the indescribable, undefined, matchless Son of God who paid the penalty for our sins, even though He didn't have to. We should worship Jesus in awe of Him. We would realize that we owe our lives to Him. We would realize that the least we should do is to completely surrender our lives to Him. The least we should do, to completely surrender our lives to Him. Chris Tomlin said it well as we sang this morning. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of You. I owe all to You. This morning, as we take the Holy Supper, we want to be totally grateful and in awe of Jesus for the most awful price that He paid for our sins. As we take the Holy Supper, we want to realize that at the very least, we owe our entire lives to Him.